2 Kings chapter 4. And talk about today, what do you have? What do you have? 2 Kings chapter 4. You say, Pastor Joel, I don't have much. That's okay. So this whole message is about 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons and the bondman. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow these vessels ahead of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought her the vessel, brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about what do you have. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for every soul that's here today, Lord. Thank you for the children, the adults, the teens, the elderly, everybody we have, Father, is a precious soul to you. We thank you for the chance to teach your word and what you have to say. And Lord, I think we can undo some of what the devil has done in minds if you will speak today, Father. This is, I believe, what you have for us this morning. I pray that you'd speak to us. We need your help. We need your truth. We need the word of God to be rightly divided. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually and as a group. And we pray you would do that. And I pray that you would now do a mighty work in this service. Give us what we need in a powerful way now. And just dwell among us in a special and powerful way where we remember and praise you and realize the difference that you made. If anybody doesn't know you as Savior today, may they come to know you as their personal Savior, we pray. We just give you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story, there's a widow, and her husband had died, and she has a couple of boys, at least. And she calls Elisha and says, you know, my husband was a prophet, and he served the Lord, and he had integrity, and you knew him, and he helped serve with you to serve the Lord, and he was a prophet of God, and he's died. And he had some creditors that have come, and we don't have any money to pay the creditors. And so they're going to come and take my two sons and make them servants and slaves because that'll pay off the debt. And what am I supposed to do? And so got to help us in this thing and help us through this thing. And I think it's noteworthy that she brought up her husband's life and testimony to the prophet. Now, you're really bringing up the Lord because the prophets would go to the Lord for you and stuff, but she was noting her husband's integrity. Notice what she said about him. She said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, verse 1, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. I think his life was something so special that his wife could come and say, hey, my husband was a good man who earned some grace, some favor with God. And I hope that we and our families would live in such a way where our kids could go and say, Lord, you know my dad, you know my mom, you know my wife, you know my husband. They have walked before you in truth. Where you could come with that kind of leverage. Where you can come and say, look, they've been doing right. And you know they put God first in their life. What a good thing to be able to bring before the Lord to get that grace. And he had that in his life. And then her life seemed to be ruined. Now, first of all, her husband died. And she called her children, so they weren't adults yet. And so her husband passed away. Obviously, God allowed that to happen because he was a servant of the Lord. And she now has a creditor knocking at the door. And says, listen, we're going to take your two sons. They're going to be our servants. And she can't pay for her house. She can't pay for anything. And her life seems to be completely falling apart. But the good thing about, and you, by the way, if you haven't faced something like that yet where it seems like it just pours and everything's wrong and you're in big trouble, give it some time. Life has a way sometimes of overwhelming us, and a lot of bad things happen at once. And she had lost her husband, and then the creditor comes. And she got her sons the lease. At first she thinks, Lisa got my sons, help take care of me. No, now they're coming to take away the sons. And now she's losing everything. She's losing everything. And it looks like her life is completely ruined. And it looks like her life is going to completely fall apart. And it looks like her life is going to be hopeless. And it looks like everything's bad. But she stops. And she goes to the man of God and says, what am I going to do? She knew to go to where God was. She knew to talk to the Lord. She thought her life was ruined. She thought she was going to be on the streets. Her son's going to be slaves and everything was gone. But I want to say, when you've got the Lord, you are never without hope. It might look like it. Your circumstances might look hopeless. But when you have the Lord, you're never without hope. You got a strong hand up in heaven that can help you there. And so she comes to Elisha and says, what am I going to do? They're going to come and take my sons. And he asks her a strange question. He says, what do you have in your house? Well, obviously she had sold a bunch and tried to make up something, because she says, I have one thing in my house. I have a pot of oil. I've been in houses like that. I was in a house in Mexico one time where, I've been in several houses, but I remember being in Mexico one time, and I was on a hillside in the middle of nowhere, and a lady came out crying in the house, and she was in a little poor house there, and she came out crying and upset, and she asked us to come there, and there's an assistant pastor who's Mexican with me, and we went in there in the house, and there was a little, old washer sitting there, and the motor was smoking, and she was crying. She says, this is the way I pay all my bills, is washing people's clothes. I carry the clothes up the hill from down there where the people have money, and I wash these clothes, and it won't work anymore. And that was also, there was nothing in that house but that washer. She slept on the floor. She didn't have a sink. She didn't have any, there was not a piece of furniture, nothing in the house except for the washer. Now the washer is broken. And to see that, nothing in the house except for a pot of oil. That didn't happen much. That's poor. I remember somebody called the church, said, I have no food for me and my kids. I had no food for us at all. I have no food at all, not one bit of food in the house. Said, you have no food in the house? I've never seen that in America. I've been in poor areas for pushing on 30 years now, every week of my life. I've never seen a house with no food. She says, no, I have absolutely no food. So I said, I'll be there. And so we went and grabbed some food in the food bank, carried it into her house. And she says, okay, come on, bring it in. And I brought it in the house. And I look, and there was the table right there, and there was several boxes of food there. And so I put it on the table. I said, it was like macaroni and cheese. And I said, I thought she didn't have any food. She says, oh, well, just macaroni and cheese. And I looked over there and I said, there's Cheerios on the counter over there. She says, well, that's all I have is like cheap box stuff like that. So, well, that's not no food. Cheerios aren't too bad in a pinch. But this lady had nothing except for a little pot of oil. He says, what do you have? Why does it matter? Who cares what I have in my house? I got a pot of oil. Why does it matter? She didn't say that, but she could have said that. Imagine you come and you say, I'm being evicted. I'm going to be evicted tomorrow, and we need help. And I said, what do you have in your house? I don't know. By the way, sometimes you can sell your big screen. Or you can sell your PlayStation. Or your, do I sound like I'm from a different world here? Is that a different planet? What would I do without a big screen? You might spend time with your family. And so you go, and she has nothing but a pot of oil. Why does it matter? Because it's part of the story. The man of God had a reason for asking it. And Elisha says, what do you have now? She has a pot of oil. And he says to her, go and borrow empty pots from all your neighbors. So off she goes, and she sends her boys off, and the boys run off and say, can I borrow an empty pot? Can I borrow an empty jar? Can I borrow an empty vessel? Can I borrow an empty this? And they all begin to grab this stuff and bring it back. And he says, okay, go into your house, shut the door, and pour out the oil. All she's got is a pot of oil. Probably wasn't made out of plastic, and it probably wasn't from Costco. That's all she's got. But she's got these other vessels, and she's got a pot of oil. By the way, olive oil is pretty valuable. This stuff's expensive. And so what does she do? She says, well, I'm supposed to pour out the oil. And she got one pot of oil, and she got a whole bunch of empty pots of oil, and she starts to pour. And she pours it out, and as she pours it out, that vessel fills up, and she says, this thing's still full. And she walks through another one, pours it out. No, I'm not going to. And she pours it out, and it's still full. And she fills up another thing, and there's this big vase, and she fills that up, and there's another one that's up to her waist, and she fills that up, and she keeps filling and filling and filling and filling, and that thing doesn't empty. And she fills every single pot, and the oil stays in every single pot, and she's still got her oil. And he says, now, go sell all the oil. And it'll last, and just keep on selling it. It'll pay all your bills. You'll pay off all your creditors. And she says, wow, that pot of oil is pretty useful. That pot of oil wasn't much. It was just a pot of oil. I could have sold it for a buck or two, and now I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I can pay off all my debt, and I'm not going to have to sell my sons. I got all these pots are full. It says, verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door unto thee upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her sons, and brought forth a vessel unto her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then came the man of God and said, go and sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. They sold the oil that paid off all of her debt so she wouldn't have to lose her son, and then they just began to live off the rest of the oil. And it kept paying their bills. What do you have? A pot of oil. What could it have been? Anything that God got. He just happened to be saying, what do you got? Pot of oil? Okay, that's fine. We'll use the pot of oil. What's the big about a pot of oil? Nothing. It's what she had. It could have been a cat, and it could have had 1,000 kittens to sell. That'd have been a cooler story. It could have been a well, and it produced enough water for the whole city. It could have been anything. It's what she had. And God said, what you have is what I'm going to use. And what you have is going to be enough. But I don't have very much. All I got is a pot of oil. I can't pay one of my bills with this pot of oil. Give it to God and see where it goes. What do you have with you? Pot of oil. So what? Why do you ask? Are you trying to embarrass me? No, I just need to know what God has to use. Her life was not a wreck. She was just fine. God was in control. He was going to do a miracle. But what good is a pot of oil going to do? Am I going to take it and hit the creditor over the head with it? Will I pour it on the floor and he'll slip and fall on his head and die? What good is a pot of oil? She could have said, what do you have in your house? Nothing really. But she had something. What she had wasn't much. But God doesn't need much. God said, what do you have? And that was plenty. God said, what do you have? What you have is enough in the Lord's hand. I want you to understand that for a sec. What you have is enough in the Lord's hand. But I'm not very talented. Doesn't matter. What do you have? But I don't have very much money. Doesn't matter. What do you have? See, what God needs is what you have to be given to him so he can bless it. And the Bible is full of stories where God said, what do we have? That's enough. Just give me it. I gave you that oil. I let your husband die. I knew that oil would be in there. I know what's in your house. But I need to draw your attention to it because what I've given you is going to be enough. It's enough. What do you have? In Exodus chapter 4, we see another story like this. Exodus chapter 4, we find Moses being called to go into Egypt and to deliver his people from the most powerful army in the entire world. And he's a shepherd, and he doesn't have any weapons. He doesn't have a lot with him. He certainly doesn't have an army. What's he going to do, run and rush him with sheep? Speed bumps for the chariots? And God says, go in there. And he says, I can't go in there. They won't listen to me. And he says, I can't do it. I don't have much. And Moses answered, by the way, he's in a mountainside. He doesn't have his household with him. He doesn't have all his materials with him. He doesn't have anything with him. He's just in the hillside, just chasing a sheep, and all he's got is a stick. In verse 1, it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? What's in your hand, Moses? A stick. A rod. What, am I going to go beat every chariot and every soldier with one stick? What am I going to do with it? That's all I got. And see, God, you called the wrong person. All I've got is a rod, a stick. That's all I got. God says, what do you got in your hand? A rod. Okay. That's all you got? Yep, that's all I got. Good, that'll be plenty. It's a stick. It's a rod. In verse 3, and the Lord said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. Our hero. It becomes a snake, he runs away. And watch, God says, go pick it up. Now you got to live by faith. And he picks it up, and it becomes this rod again in his hand. And he said, I can do a lot with that rod. It's all he got? That'll be plenty. You're a shepherd. I need to be a shepherd. I knew that's all you'd have. I knew that. I knew. I saw you coming up the hill. I saw all you had. You had a rod. I called you. You got that? That's what I gave you? Widow had all she had is a little pot of oil? It's enough. God begins to use this rod. It became enough. Verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Just all he had. Chapter 9, verse 25, and hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, and all the field, both man and beast. And the verse 23, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire ran upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon all the land of Egypt. That's a pretty good rod. He holds the rod up, thunder and hail and lightning and giant hail balls are coming down and destroying the land and all this huge storm and thunders and lightnings when he held his rod up. He had this stick, this shepherd's staff. It was a stick. It was a piece of wood. But what are you going to do? How are you going to deliver a couple million people who are slaves to the most powerful army in the world with a rod? Can you imagine me trying to go do that to China or Russia? Let all the Christians go. I have my stick. I mean, that's all he was going with. He was going with a piece of wood in his hand to go fight against the most mighty army in the world who has swords and spears and shields and chariots of iron and all these things, and he's going to go there armed with a piece of wood. But it's enough. Because it was God's piece of wood. It was God's piece of wood. Watch this rod. We can go through all kinds of things, but chapter 10 and verse 13. And Moses stretched forth his rod over all the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon all the land that day and all that night. And in the morning, he cast the east wind before the locust. Here comes a plague. And it continues on when you see these things. Oh, eventually they get to a pinch and they get to the edge of land. And all of a sudden they say, we can't go any farther and we're going to die. And so God says in chapter 14, he tells them what he's going to do. He says, stand still. Go forward, verse 15. Verse 16, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. There, here's an army behind them. Here's the ocean in front of them. And God says, lift up your rod over the ocean. All of a sudden, a wind comes up and the water comes up and stands up on the sides. And they now have a clear path straight across the Red Sea, the greatest referred to miracle of the Bible that it always refers to over and over. The Red Sea is parted by God using that stick. And they walk across on dry ground, and here's a wall of water over here. Here's a wall of water over here. They see fishies and whales and dolphins and turtles and Nemo and everything else as they're walking through it. And they walk through the middle of it, and they get to the other side, and Moses puts his rod back up, and Pharaoh's army is coming through. And don't mess with that rod. Why? Why did God use it? If we go back to our story there in 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm sorry, go back in Exodus here. I want to go back in Exodus first before we go there. Chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, where Moses was called. Watch what God calls this rod. Verse 20. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Ha. Was it because Moses picked just the right tree? And it was his lucky charm? It was just the right thing? It had the right combination of energy inside the rod? Was it his rabbit's foot? No. And by the way, if you have the rabbit's foot, the rabbit wasn't very lucky. You'll get that later. And he goes and he has this rod of God in his hand. It's God's rod. It's God's stick. It's God's shepherd's staff. That's all I need. How do you get these things to be used by God? First of all, it's enough. And you must give it to God. Second, you have to have faith enough to obey and go ahead with what God gave you. See, there's the key. See, whatever you're going to face in life, God will give you enough to get through it if you're his. You say, all God gave me is this. All he gave her was a pot of oil. All he gave Moses was a stick. You say, I don't have the tools. I don't think they did either. I don't think Moses had the right tools to go take over Egypt and deliver his people. I don't think the woman had the right things in a pot of oil to feed her family and provide for them and pay off their debt. See, it was not enough without God. But when you believe God and give what you have to God, God said, I gave that to you, and it's going to be enough. You have enough to make it. You have enough to do what God wants you to do. You have enough to do great things. You have enough to get through the day. You have enough to make it through life. You've been given enough what you need. You got to give it to God. You got to say, Lord, all I have is this, but I'm giving it to you. Use it, God. This is all I have. God will say, that's enough. And you probably have more than Moses or the widow has. Because when you give it to God, it becomes God's, and it's mighty through God. Then you must believe God enough that what he has given you is enough in order to obey. What if the widow woman had said, why am I getting a bunch of pots and pans? Why am I getting a bunch of vessels? I'm not going to do that. And the lack of faith would have kept her from being taken care of. And then he said, pour your oil into these vessels. took faith. Afterward, we look at it and say, that's easy. But no, it took her faith. And it took Moses' faith. He fought it and fought it and fought it, saying, I do not have what I need to go into Egypt. And God said, yes, you do. I don't have a good enough mouth. I made your mouth. Go. It is enough. You've been given enough to make it. You've been given enough to make it. You got to give it to God. You've got to obey. You've got to go do what God has told you to do, whether you have faith to do it or not. Whether you have belief in yourself or not, whether you think you can do it or not, you've got to go forth boldly and obey God and believe God has given you enough. What you have been given is enough. More stories of this. Mark chapter 6, and a well-known story, and you'll know it right away when I tell it. But in Mark chapter 6, we see Jesus asking them what they had. Mark chapter 6. In verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because he saw there were sheep and as having not a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. And they found out they were hungry, and the disciples said, send them away. They can go eat. And Jesus said in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Mark 6, verse 37. Now Jesus tells them to do something big. Remember, the widow. Tells her to do something big. He tells Moses, go let my people go. Now he tells the disciples, go feed them. And they say, there's 5,000 men plus their wives and children. There's probably 15, 20,000 people. You know how much food it takes to feed 20,000 people? You ever try to feed 100 people? You try to feed five Baptist preachers? I mean, it's hard stuff. And he says, you got to go feed those people. And they said, a fortune wouldn't feed these people. He says, what do you have? Verse 30, they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread. I couldn't feed this room with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes unless they are very big fishes. But these were what a little boy was carrying, so they weren't giant tunas. They were in his lunch bag. Probably sardines. How much you have? 5. We got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's send them home. He says, all right, go feed them. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Look. Little fishies. Go feed them. Have them sit down in companies, sit them in groups, groups of 50, sit them like this, and go give them the food. I'll give it to you. Okay, but you're going to talk to the people who are in the third row who don't get food. They go, that's not in there, by the way. And they go, and they start taking, he takes some bread, hands it to him, hands it to him, hands it to him. Hands it to him. Hands it to him. Go feed him. They take baskets and carry it back there and said, those loaves are bigger than I thought. Man. He is stretching that stuff out. And they come back again and he puts it in there. Puts it in there. Puts it in there. First loaf's not gone yet. They fed a couple hundred people and they said, I think something's happening. Something's happening here. Starts giving him fish. Gives them more fish. And they are scattering out there and they are taking it and feeding them. And they feed 1,000 and 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000. They just keep on feeding and feeding and feeding. What did Jesus ask them? How much do you have? All we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's enough. I just need something to grab and hand. Doesn't matter how much it is. I'm God. I can feed them with whatever I want. I just want you to give me what you have so I can use it. That's all I need. I just need what you have. Yet a lot of people will sit here today and say, God can never use me to do that. I could never do this thing. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I got too bad a background. I failed too many times. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the right family. I don't have the talents. I'm not smart enough. What do you have? I don't know. I've got my body and, you know, my mind, and I've got a junky car and a rundown apartment. Okay, give it to me. Nothing can happen to what I have. You got more than a stick and a bottle of oil and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he fed 10, 15,000 people. It says 5,000 men. He delivered 2 million people from the most powerful army in the world with a stick. You got a stick? What do you got? You know, it's the craziest thing in the world. God gave me this huge vision for missions. You know what the crazy thing about me is? I am terrible at learning languages. I spent 6 years in an all Spanish first generation Spanish area. 6 years. I sat in their houses. I ate their food. I talked to them every week. I took them to my house. I spent a ton of time with them and forgot every single Spanish word they taught me. I can say the words great. You teach me how to say it, I'll say the right accent. I am great at accents. And I can still remember como esta and all kinds of words, and all the insult words they tell me. I can still remember some of the words. I forget it all. I finally worked my Spanish and got pretty good at my Spanish. I actually worked really hard on it. Got some tapes, listened to them, and worked really, really hard. Went to Mexico 3 times, got it all down, and I was getting where I could almost be conversational in my Spanish. And by the way, with as much as I worked, I should have been fluent. Then I went to Brazil. They speak Portuguese. And you know what happened? I tried to learn enough Portuguese to communicate there, and Portuguese and Spanish went tumble, tumble, tumble together, and I couldn't speak either. It ruined my Spanish. They use their J's in Portuguese. Half the words are the same. It has an Italian accent to it, not the Spanish accent. It was a nightmare. And now, I can't speak anything. I can say ciao in Portuguese. I remember that. It's a cool word. I'm trying to think of the words I remember in Portuguese. Chiqui. That means it's really cool. Chiqui. And I remember that. And ciao. That's all I remember from Portuguese. And I know how to ask for food. I know taco, enchilada, burrito. I know no caliente. And I know a few words in Spanish. Don't give me hot food and all those things like that. Hola, ¿cómo está? Bien, bien. Muy bonito. I know a few words. But you know, those of you who know Spanish are all laughing. And I just said I was very handsome. And that's not funny. That's good. And so God calls me and to go and reach these countries. And I'm the worst guy in the world for it. I go to Haiti. And Luke, I forget all my Creole. Como ye? That's all I know. Como ye? Au revoir. I remember 5 phrases. And I've been to Haiti, how many times have I been there? 3 times? 3 times. I spent 30 days in Haiti. I have Haitians in my church, and I can't speak it. I have our East Indians, I'm sorry, our Nepalese. They try to teach me something from Nepal or from, and I get it, and my kids get it with me, and they say, here's how you say hi, and I get it down. And then, guess what happens? 30 seconds later, Dad, how do you say it? I don't know. How do you say it? And they say it. Who am I to go to the mission field and preach and do pastors' conferences and plant churches and see amazing things happen in the mission field? I'm the worst guy in the world for it. I'm not good at people. I'm not very talented. But you know what? What God gave me works. What God gave me works. I don't know why I'm behind a pulpit. I look at me and say, I talk too fast. I'm not a good preacher. I'm an introvert. I'm not good at people. But you know what? If you want to use it, I'm yours. Whatever you can pour out of this thing, whatever you can use this person who is not very gifted, not very talented, I'll give it to you and see what you can do. And you know what? I'll obey and give you me. See, you are good enough to be used by God. You can get done what you need to get done in life. You say, I've got to change this thing in my life. I'm just not strong enough. What can you do? No, you're going to need God's help. That's true. But God doesn't help those who don't take what they have and try. You get that? If you want God to just do all the miracle and you don't have to do anything, you better go get the jars. Can you get jars? Well, I can do that, but I can't pay my bills. Get the jars. Pour them out. What good's it going to do? I don't. You can do that. I'll take care of filling them. You've got to take what you can do and what gifts God's given you and the talents God's given you, and the devil's going to sit here and say, you can never be used. You've got too bad of this. You've messed this up too bad. You're not talented enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not this. You're not that. You can't do anything. And you'll sit there paralyzed and not go get the jars. You won't go and take the rod of God in your hand because you won't make it the rod of God because you keep it to yourself and say, it's not enough. God says, it is enough. Just give it to me. What do you have? It's enough. God gave you what you have. And he wants to use you and do great things with you. But he's got to have whatever you got. Well, I don't got much. That's the point. That's fine. The Lord does not need much. He just needs all of it. The Lord does not need much. He just needs all of it. If it's one bottle of probably olive oil, by the way, that's going to feed your family and set your kids free. What do you got? What do you have in your house? What do you have in your hand? How many loaves and fishes have you? Why, does he not know? He's talking to Moses. He can't see the rod in his hand. He's talking to him. But he just wanted to say, what do you have? That's it. I gave you what is enough. How about you? What do you have? What can you give to God? You probably have more than everything I just mentioned. You probably do. But you're looking in a secular mindset of what can I do? What do I have? How good am I? How you're going to need God in this thing. And he probably made it so you don't have enough so you'll know you need him. That's what God does. He lets you know. What do you have? What can you give to God? How long are you going to stay paralyzed thinking you can't do it? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Give what you have to God. And then obey whatever he tells you to do, no matter how crazy it seems. Like going fetching a bunch of pots and pans and vases. And just obey. And watch what God does to those who give what they have to him and obey by faith that God will help them make it. What do you have? Let's pray. Father, I pray we'd give what we have to you, Father. I pray we'd believe that you're a great God who can do whatever needs done. I pray we'd trust you and believe in you. I pray, Lord, that we would give what we have to you and obey and go do things for you, Father. Help us to quit talking about what we don't have, what we've not been given. Help us to just give what we have. And the widow can give her two mites, and it's enough. And Moses can go with his rod and decimate a nation and deliver a nation and part a Red Sea. And Jesus can feed 5,000, and the widow can pay her bills. But you gave him enough. May we believe you, Father. May we obey you. And may we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're just going to have, if Peter, you can come and